You know, folks, as we hear Paul talking to the people at Corinth, it was his intention fully to come back by and visit with them, but it turned out that he couldn't. And like I said a while ago, there's times when we try to tell you something and it just can't happen that way. And it's not that we try to do things our way. We have full intention, me and Brian do, of teaching and preaching the gospel. It is full intentions of everything being to glorify God, not us. We don't have any intention of glorifying ourselves. It is all about Him. Paul was the very same way. He wanted the church at Corinth, to understand there was some issues there in the church. And if you look in chapter 7, you see that he talked about writing this letter. There was issues in the church, and he knew that probably by going by there and being face-to-face and confronting these people face-to-face, it could probably be worse than him if, to the church. It would probably be worse than if he would just write a letter and just present this letter and let them read and let them think about how they can make their faith stronger, how they can correct the problems that they have. Being faithful to God, I think about it a lot, folks. Every day I think about being faithful to God. What does He expect of me? How does He want me to live? Well, then we're talking about, like Martin Luther was, about doing works instead of just His grace. But, folks, it's together. If you read James, he talks about the works. Paul talks about more about the grace. So they're together. It's not one without the other. They just intertwine just like your fingers do if you put them together. And it makes a big old hand. That's what it's about. And so we see that being faithful is sometimes really, really hard to do. Because we'd rather be faithful of doing some good works than to being faithful to set and study the Word, to keep ourselves engraved in the Word. So it's kind of hard. You know, when I think about being faithful, probably the first person I think about, and I can't imagine being there, Dickie, but can you imagine Abraham? I mean, when, God told him to take Isaac up there, Brian, I mean, my gosh, I don't even know that I could have went up there, much less, been willing to do what he called Abraham to do, to sacrifice Isaac. But his faith was so strong in the Lord. Can you imagine having that kind of faith? Folks, I like to think sometimes that I have some strong faith. I like to think that I'm good. If you say, where's your faith at? I'm good. But really, I'm not. Because when you stop and you think about the characters of the Bible, all the way from the Old Testament on, when you think about the faith they showed and the things that they were put in front of them, and yet they carried it out, could you have done that? Would you have done that? I don't know. I don't know how I would have reacted. You see, your faith, you can say it's strong because there's nothing really going on right now. There's not anything really happening right now. I'm living a pretty good life. We're going to have a big Sunday dinner here in a little bit, and Super Bowl's going to be on, and I got good faith. Pretty easy, isn't it? Go home, get in your chair, and claim that faith. But when that faith really comes and it brings you to a situation in your life where you have to really depend upon the Lord, or it'll drive you crazy. You have to really depend upon the Lord and know that you're in His hand and He's in your heart and you're all about what He wants and not what you want. Folks, that's when our faith is tested each and every day. There's a friend of mine over at Mayfield, and this story comes to mine and Tammy's mind a whole lot. But him and his best friend in school, they were together all the time. They were together, and they had a really, really close relationship. He said it's closer than him and his brother had. And they went through school together, and they got out of school, and this gentleman that I know, he had been in church and when he was young, but he had gotten away from going to church. And he decided that he would start going back to church. He got married and began a family. So he started going back to church. And so he became really involved in church. And he was saved. And he really couldn't get enough of the Lord. He was so wrapped up in the Lord, he just wanted everybody to be like him and to have that love and to have that joy and to have that faith that he had. And this young man that he had been friends with all of his life, no, I don't want anything to do with that. And so their friendship went different ways. They'd see each other on occasion, maybe run into each other. Mayfield's not that big a place. They'd run into each other, they'd visit, and they'd talk. But the gentleman that became saved first, you know, they used to run together, they drank together, they done everything together that good old boys done. And it was a fun time, and the other one continued to want to live that life. And this guy that I know there at Mayfield, he said that he made it his goal to be faithful. Every day he went to work. He worked 6 days a week. Every day he went to work 30 minutes early, folks. He went to work 30 minutes early, and he parked in the same spot every day. And he sat right there, and he prayed that this young man, this guy that was as close as his brother, could come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That he could come to have that relationship and be saved, and they could have their relationship mended and put back together. Every day, he said he'd done that for 13 years. Now, who would be faithful to do that for 13 years? You know, for 13 years. And he said one morning, he pulled in to work, and there was a truck sitting there. Right in his parking place. He said, I thought, well, wonder who this is out here early this morning. And he said he pulled up there, and he said, normally I, you know, pull right there where he was sitting. He said, I pulled up there, and he said, get in the truck with me. He said, I got in the truck with him. And he said, we rode all morning long. And we'd park a while, and we would talk, and we'd pray, and we'd ride, and we'd talk, and we'd pray. And he come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And today their relationship is mending. Today he talks about it regularly because he is so happy that they have their relationship back, that they go to church together, that they have that opportunity to share in Christ. He was faithful not to give up on his friend. How many of us, stop and think about it, folks. How many of us, I love all of y'all. There's not a soul in here I don't love. But would I be faithful enough every day for 13 years to get up and go to work 30 minutes early? It's hard for me to get to work when I'm supposed to be there. Hard for me to get to church when I'm supposed to be here. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is, folks. We all know that. But he did. He was faithful, and God answered his prayer. You see, when you're faithful to God, he tells us that if you're faithful, that you'll be faithful like the Lord, and that you will be faithful unto the Lord. Jesus talks about being faithful. We were talking about other night in Revelation. But in Revelation 2, if you have your Bibles and you'd like to open them, Revelation 2, let's just look at the 9th verse here, 9th and 10th. It says, I know about your suffering and your poverty. Now, this is Jesus speaking, folks. This is Jesus. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogues belong to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, listen to this, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. Folks, that is wonderful, wonderful stuff. He is telling us that if we remain faithful, if whenever we're looking at death, whatever we're looking at in our life, when we remain faithful, then you will be rewarded with the crown of life. Isn't that awesome stuff? I mean, it's just wonderful. And folks, you know, there's times that you'll go through things and you'll be probably in the days and years ahead, you'll be tortured and put on trial for being a Christian right here in the United States. That's okay if that's what happens. God is in full control. He is in control. Nobody else is in control. God is. And so, folks, when it comes down to it, and you're being put on trial and you're tested and you're saying, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's going to be worth this or not. I mean, you know, really, Lord, I'm going to have to go through this. Well, think about Daniel. He suffered for 10 days. You know, there's many, many times when people have suffered for Christ. And that it is worth it, folks. It's worth every bit of it. Because He tells us in Revelation 2, I will give you the crown of life. Nobody can take your life. I'm going to give you life. I'm going to give you the crown of life. And you're going to be with me from this day on. Folks, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing when we know that our faith can take you. When your faith can take you forward and you're looking more forward to being with Jesus than you are being here with me or me being with you. You know, I guess I've been real, real close to death several times, folks, and I haven't got time to tell you all that. But the one time that we was at Vanderbilt, and the doctors told me that day, they said, Mike, that afternoon, they said, Mike, if we do that surgery to you in the morning, I'm going to tell you you're going to wake up dead. You're not going to live through it. You're not. We do not want to do this. And I had been so sick, folks, for so long, and I said, yeah. I said, you're going to do it. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to go ahead and get it done. And I said, you know, I am happy with whatever the outcome will be. If I wake up, I'm going to go back home to the little house at Buchanan. And if I don't wake up, I'm going to the big house to be with the Lord, because He's got a mansion prepared for me. And those doctors, they stood there around my bed, and they said, we just don't hear people talk about it like that, that they're going to be happy either way it goes. I said, you just do your best to learn something that you can help someone else with. Folks, at that point in your life, your faith is 100% in Jesus Christ. 100%. Because you know that if you don't wake up, then you're going to be in His presence. When I woke up, they had me in some kind of place I'd never seen, been there before, and hope I don't ever go back. And it was in a germ-free room, and I asked that lady, I said, am I dead? She said, are you dead? She said, I don't reckon. I said, well, I've never seen nothing like this. She said, well, you're in a germ-free area. She said, you're not dead. I said, am I dying? She said, they didn't tell me you were. I said, wow, I don't know. But That was the first thing I wondered when I woke up. Where am I at? This can't be heaven. I don't know where I'm at, but this can't be heaven. This, I've never witnessed anything like this. So, folks, your expectations of heaven, my expectations of heaven, is wonderful. It's going to be the most wonderful thing in the world, and I don't think I'm going to have to ask, am I dead? I think I'm going to know. But I couldn't figure out what was going on that day. And therefore, I asked the lady. So you take your faith, folks, whether it be like Abraham. He believed that if he took Isaac up there and it came to the point that he would sacrifice Isaac, he truly believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. He knew that in his heart. Therefore, he was willing to do everything right down to dotting the I's and crossing the T that God wanted him to do. You know, there's many, many stories in the Bible that talk about others, people's faith. You go to Hebrews 11, and it's a whole chapter of people and their faith. The Hall of Fame of Faith is what the 11th chapter of Hebrews is. But you go there and you read about each and every one. And can you imagine, I mean, Moses, he'd get mad and have a little temper fit and do all kind of stuff. But when it come to that crossing that Red Sea and he got there, can you believe the faith he would have to take that staff and open that sea, that God is going to open that sea and I'm going to cross with all of these people? You see, it's just so many times that we see people's faith that takes them to where they're at. And I pray that your faith is strong. I pray that your faith is what takes you each and every day desiring to see Jesus Christ. Folks, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to know Jesus Christ, to live your life each and every day knowing that it may be today the day that I stand in front of Him. Knowing that today might be the last day here on this earth. And knowing, if it is, that you are going to be happier tomorrow than you are today. That is the most wonderful thing. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know that or have that, I pray that you will come to know it and understand it. These fruits that we've been talking about, the love, the joy, the peace, and all of that, that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. It's given to you. It's like a basket full of peaches or a basket full of whatever it is you like. It's given to you, and you're going to really enjoy them. And so go for it. Come to know and learn more each day about Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.